Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I'm Monique Anton, your host, and I have with me today my friend Chad DeWitt. How are you, Chad?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Chad is an architectural designer and the founder of Frame Studio. He has been featured in magazines like Little Old Dwell magazine, Arch Daily, San Francisco Chronicle, California Home and Design, Sunset Magazine, Spaces Magazine. I mean, need I go on? Metropolis Magazine, Elle Decor, Architectural Digest, Habitat Magazine in South Africa, and many others. And what I love most about your work, Chad, is your restorations.
Oh, thank you.
Things that you've done to restore these homes. And I want to start off with your home in Sea Ranch. I wonder if you can talk about this amazing restoration that you did on this Joseph Escherich design.
Wow, where to begin? I mean, first of all, it was completely an unexpected purchase. I think that was one of the big things. We just had this idea, my partner and I had this idea that we probably couldn't afford to get in on the property ladder here in the Bay. Mm-hmm. We had a great rent-controlled mid-century apartment in Oakland. So I took him up, showed him this place that I had loved since college. We used to go up there on the weekends. When we studied architecture. And he loved the Sea Ranch. We came back, and I like spreadsheets. I like trying to see if we can afford to do this. And ultimately, I had this idea that we could, since the Sea Ranch has historically been don't exactly call it a resort community, but it is a place that you would rent a house for the weekend and stay up there. So what I wanted to do is see if we could make something like that work. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens we opened Zillow and there was this Escherich.
Yeah.
That my husband said it's too early and we should wait until the next Escherich. Mm. But something instinctually said that we should jump. And so we did. We soon found ourselves in the middle of a remodel and kind of just with a lot of questions. We had the original design. We even had like the dismantled original bunk beds. But for us, I think it was kind of the challenge that we set forth was we are chefs. We cook a lot. So we're home chefs. We have two adult kids. We should have family soon. Little ones, grandkids running around soon. We have, you know, a certain lifestyle. And how do we apply this lifestyle to the house without ruining it? Mm-hmm. And frankly, kind of without really changing it. Except we didn't. And a lot of it, like, our approach was just kind of, what would the original architect have done?
Yes. I love Curbed Magazine did a story about you and about your amazing work doing this home. And I love when you said, when I saw this property, I kind of died inside. I kind of died inside, which I think is an amazing way to express how all of us feel about taking on a project some of these homes are.
Yeah, it's the most amazing wave of emotions that hit you. It is like excitement and hope and fear and dread.
Yes.
And more excitement.
And imagination.
And imagination. Yes. And for me, it just, it like all spun at once. And there were times that I couldn't even talk.
Just, because you just feel so intimidated.
Yeah.
You by feel the house.
Right. Right. And then you think, oh my gosh, because I very much believe that we're caretakers.
Yes.
You know, we need to preserve the house and let the house be what the house is, preserve the house, modify the house to fit our needs. And, you know, as houses evolve, houses change. Mm. But at the same time, the goal is to not hand a completely different house to the next owner.
Yes.
Especially when it's architecturally significant.
I think that your work is really effortless, and I think it's just no BS. It's straightforward. It's pure. I was explaining your work to my husband as if you just, your work is like walking into a home and snapping your fingers and you're back, you're back in 1963. Yeah. And it's that simple.
That's the hugest compliment. And that is what we really strive to do, mm-hmm. As an architecture studio.
Yes.
I can't tell you how hard it is to pull it off.
It's really hard.
It's so the
better,
hard.
The better the work, the harder it is.
Yeah, too. And the more simple the work, the harder yes. it is. It's so difficult.
Yes, and for those of you listening, if you go to Curbed Magazine and you just enter Chad's name, Chad DeWitt Frame Studio, you will see images of his home. And I have to tell you, the materials chosen were so perfect. The flooring and the simple countertops. It was effortless. And I think that you've had such an experience with Sea Ranch also. You not only know the ins and outs, but you know the community. And what was that like? What was the restoration like? Or should I ask, what was the hardest part of the restoration?
Wow. Yeah, that's a great question. So we bought in 2017 and... I so much has changed, and we were just in the beginning of a change in generations up yes. there. Yes. And one of the hardest things to navigate up there was everything from, we've always done it this way, this is the way it needs to be done, you don't understand. no, we can't do that. No, that's not allowed. But then also, even to the extent of, well, you can't possibly be an owner because you're not old enough. And
surprise!
Surprise! And, well, what do you mean you own an Ashrink? The Ashrinks are all by the water. And, well, actually, they're not all by the water. Mm-hmm. Some of them are up and my favorite, because as you probably know, it's run as a short-term rental, as our way of sharing the architecture. Mm. We had more than one person say this would make a terrible rental. So
that was... I hear that all the time. I hear it all the time. It's too old looking.
It's too this, it's yeah. too that. You can't see the ocean. There's no view. You really should cut a hole between the kitchen and the living room.
It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get that backlash. But I think, again, the reason why you are featured everywhere is because of how amazing it is. You've traveled all over Europe, and I know you've picked up a lot of these design tools, these tips and tricks. You've learned a lot from your travels. Can you share with us what has inspired you with your work on mid-century modern homes?
So one of the things that I guess I can be kind of a bit naive at times, but one of the aha moments that I had was mid-century happened everywhere. And in many ways, so many people were looking, so many other architects in other countries were looking towards California. So it's always fun to see what ostensibly is a California-style house in the United Kingdom, in France, in Belgium. You know, their ideas and some of the amazing ones up in Scandinavia, but it's their ideas of what California living was. And one of the things that I like about it is it's adapted to a different climate, just in the same way that Northern California modernism is different than Southern California modernism. And it's because we have a different climate. So I really like the way that many of the architects do the restorations, how true to the same ideas, but how they update subtly different things. And most importantly, and I know this is getting into the weeds a bit, but how they improve the energy use and the performance of these homes whilst basically keeping them the same. And that is when I realized this, that's when I got really excited about that part of my practice, which is, you know, bringing these homes into the 21st century, making them efficient, but without changing them and making them into something else.
Mm. I love that. And it's also, people aren't wired to believe that it's possible to...
Right. Right. Yeah. It's hard. And because one of the reasons that it's hard is there's not a lot of us that are out there that are doing it really well. It's a small group of us that have kind of figured out how to do this, how to hide the insulation, how to hide the air conditioning and the heating, you know, these types of things.
Right. Well, I have a question that I don't even want to ask. We talked about this and I hate you for it. I really hate you for it. And I have to apologize to the audience for asking this question, which I don't even want to ask you. You have told me that you do not like Eichlers, and I have a real problem with this. I know I have to apologize. I don't understand what's wrong with you. But I was wondering if you should share, and you can share it. We're all going to have an open heart here. We're going to have an open mind, and we're going to listen and take in the information that Chad is going to share. Why don't you like Eichlers?
Yeah, that's pretty controversial.
Yeah, it's like a stab in my heart.
Yeah, it's a stab in every sort of Northern California mid-century fan. And I think there's kind of two reasons. The first one is it's a little bit of an academic side. It's, I just got an email yesterday saying we live in this Eichler style home that's by a fairly famous architect. And I'm like, okay, so can we refer to them as mid-century and not Eichler? So Eichler is kind of turned into Kleenex. It's the Kleenex of...
Wait. Stop. I can't...
This isn't even main reason, but keep going.
Guys.
It's the Kleenex of the architecture, the mid-century world.
Okay. just keep going. I want to make you see the light, but I'm going to just sit.
So that's just the word. That's not the homes. Okay. So the homes actually goes back to my childhood growing up in suburban Fresno.
Yes.
Okay. So this is the late 80s in suburban Fresno. The McMansions are just now coming on the scene. Fresno is this crazy place with huge amounts of development and plenty of orchards being turned into tract homes.
Mm. Right.
And in a tract home, which is what I grew up in, four doors down was the exact same home, just painted a different color.
Right.
And being a gay kid, having a sense of taste that didn't really, blend well with Fresno, I just always knew that I was different. Mm-hmm. And Fresno at the time, there was a lot of culture of conformity. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing that a dozen other people had your house, the same house, because they knew what that was and they wanted to see what you had done with it. It was a good thing that you drove the same car as everyone else. It was a good thing that you carried the same handbag, because that meant, it all meant something to these people And yeah. I hate to really bash on Fresno because it's got some great mid-century architecture, but a very insecure generation of us that grew up thinking Fresno's not a great place.
Right.
And so I think that instilled in me a dislike of conformity. I like unique. I like one-offs. I think that there's so many amazing houses out there yes. that were commissioned that are better quality, easier to work on, because Eichlers aren't easy to work on. They're a bit of a challenge.
Right.
And explore different ideas that are similar.
Yes.
But different. Or the same ideas in different ways. And to me, that's what's really interesting. It shows a lot of creativity. Mm. And I like seeing other architects and how they tackle challenges yes. or problems, because we all love solving problems. I think that's why the market's also crowded. There's plenty of other architects that'll work on your Eichler.
Everyone hates you now.
I
value that opinion. I really value that. And I think a lot of people that I know that grew up in Eichlers feel very similar. But for someone like me that lived on the East Coast,
right.
that comes to California and is slapped in the face with this wonder and yeah. excitement of this architecture, I think that Eichler was doing something so great for people here and every minority yes. and giving yes. people homes. But to us who were not from here or grew up here,
yeah.
we consider them a treasure because of opening this door to this world
right.
of mid-century modernism.
They're a gateway yeah. drug. That's for certain.
It's the gateway.
Eichlers. Definitely a gateway drug.
Eichlers are the iPods and the iPhones and the gateway drug to mid-century. And in my mind.
No, absolutely. And his social justice.
Yes.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, he's one of my... I mean, when do you hear developers doing what he did for minorities and being inclusive and all of these things?
Yes.
I mean, I think he's absolutely amazing.
Yes.
In that regard, I think how he brought these ideas of modernism and made it all very affordable, I think is utterly genius.
Yes.
I just think there's a lot more. It's Eichlers and a lot of people just sort of stop
right.
at Eichlers.
Right. Eichlers and.
It's that's Eichlers it. And. Yeah. There's so much out
Eichlers
there.
Eichlers and. That's,
yeah.
that's good. That's
yeah.
good. I'm going to, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
I will. I'm going to be open to that. No, but I think that a lot of people too, again, growing up and them seeing them everywhere, it becomes so commonplace that you have a different view
right.
with
sure.
respect. Respect.
Sure. Yeah.
Are you working on any personal restoration projects right now?
We do. We like it's that cobbler's son has no shoes. Of course, it's taking forever, but in 2021, we decamped from Oakland to this tiny little place called Point Richmond, which is actually not a city, it's a neighborhood.
Yes.
And Point Richmond is a sleeper for mid-century modernism.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened in Point Richmond was you had bayfront, like you can be actually on the bay with the waves, you know, hitting the bottom of your house, which is a bit rare. And you also had UC Berkeley. And because of the proximity of the refinery, the real estate was inexpensive. So all of that combined to turn into this kind of who's who of architects. We've got Worcesters. We had a Schindler. We had Roger Lee. We have some homegrown architects in there that Walter Brooks, who's just utterly amazing. And then we have some international architects like Serge Chermayev, who has a long history in modernism. So what we landed with was a condo. It's a townhouse. There's only three of us in this unit or in this development. And ours is from 1980. 1980. And the architect's name is John Nance. And he was this absolutely crazy, amazing, flamboyant East Bay architect that worked in that 70s redwood kind of heavy beam, cedar shakes on the outside and the inside of the house. And there was something about it that just drew us to it. We're like, this is insane. This is different. There's all this different technology in it. Our heat, we have radiant heat from the ceiling.
What?
Because in 1980, they hadn't figured out that heat rises yet. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we have infrared radiant heat in the ceiling.
That's so cool.
So we're having a blast because I have a tendency to kind of be a little bit ahead of the taste cycles. So I'm having a blast embracing my 70s and early 80s.
Yes.
And bringing it back and even improving it a bit. Because it was meant to be an apartment, it didn't have as high-end of finishes. And now I'm kind of like, well, John, if you had some more money, what would you have done?
Nice.
So, yeah.
I cannot wait to see that.
It's going to be fun at some point when it's done. But, yeah.
Tell me about all of these books. You have, like, tons of books. Park Life, Hideaways, The Monocle Book of Homes, Modernist Escapes. There's one other that I'm... The 150 Best New Cottage and Cabin Ideas. This is great. Tell me about these.
Well, I will first start out by saying you'd think I'd have just a entire staffed wing of PR sort of making these happen. And I don't. I think so. All of those homes actually are covering the cabin at this point. So the mini mod, and I think the mini mod, part of that appeal, and I mean, it is just an international appeal. Everybody, or I shouldn't say everybody, but so many people envision a cabin in the woods.
Yes,
and that is literally what that is. We're in the redwoods. We have our own private redwood grove. There's an appeal in its size. There's an appeal in its efficiency, obviously, in its design, the cleverness of you know, the bunk beds are cantilevered off. That is the cantilever, is the bunk beds. There's so many things that we preserve. There are so many amazing ideas. And I just feel like it has this kind of international appeal. And so, for example, Park Life is by Gestalten. It's coming out of Germany. It's been released in Europe right now. Monocle is UK. And Monocle's approach, I think, kind of really applies because their homes, when they publish a home, they want to know that there's a dog in it. They want to know that you actually sit on it, the cushions, and live in it. And, you know, we made the cushions the same color as the hair on our dog.
I love it.
Like, it's practical. It's lived in. There's a couple bumps and dings. It's our house. And I think that part comes through. It's not a minimalist showcase.
But it is, though.
Yeah.
It is. I'm just gonna set the record straight. It really is, and thinking simply as you do, that appeals to so many people, and you've done it so well that.
Maybe the word is it's not precious. That's the word. It's not like you're living in a gallery, which it's lived in. It is spare.
It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable. It is spare, and I think the spareness comes. You know, I have always have lots of words to say and I'm excited and lots of energy. And the spareness comes for my desire to create the antithesis of myself, which is calm, organized, thought out. And that's what I strive for. And I'm able to achieve that in my work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what kind of drives it. So this is our place. We do hike. We do go to the ocean. but it's also our place to throw open the windows, listen to the waves crash, because we can hear the waves crashing, and just take a nap.
Beautiful. You did a show on HGTV, Designer Finals. Let's get into it, Chad.
We'll start with The Internet Never Forgets.
You have to share. You have to share this. Fun for TV with
Time
Chad.
Time for TV with Chad. So I was studying architecture at California College of, back then it was Arts and Crafts, and now it's California College of the Arts. And there was a casting call that went up on the bulletin board. And it was aimed at architects and designers. And I have always considered myself to sort of be a hybrid of both. I'm really interested in both things. So what the idea behind it is at least officially, was you were given 2 days and I think it was like $2,000 or $3,000. Or 3 days and 3,000. This has been a long time. It's one of those types of things.
I was going to say, not a lot.
Yeah, it was not a lot, and it was not a lot back then. and that actually was kind of the, I think that's where I broke out. So they gave us a room. Let's start with there. They gave us a room, and I am so thrilled to say we had this hand-built, recycled beam 1970s amazing house in Lafayette that I just absolutely adored. And that is, if you want to call this my first project, it was what I love doing all the way to today. I mean, it was just classic Northern California. And I think I went in there and I knew that I didn't want to muck it up. And I also knew that I didn't have enough money. And so because of, this was the early days of Design Within Reach, and because of the association that the school had with DWR, I went to DWR and I said, do you have any seconds?
Love it.
So whilst a lot of people, like looking back, and I kind of laugh at myself, whilst a lot of people are like, I don't know, sponge painting their chair and, you know, gluing paper bags to the wall to create texture, I was like launching it with Jean Prouvé chairs and like Herman Miller this and Noel that. And it got me noticed. Oddly enough, it started my career. And because of this, I think if you fast forward a couple of years, I was asked to do the Sunset Celebration Weekend Idea House. And that's the part that got me noticed. And it started, it wasn't called Frame Studio, but it got me started on my own. And I've been doing it ever since. So that was 2003, 2004.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that it started with what you love. Yeah. And that is something, as founders, we have to go back to that all the time.
Yes.
Because people will try to not only take that love from you, but they will hammer it out of us sometimes.
We started out with something different. We started out with something that people didn't know what to do with and few people would love. And the producers thought it was going to be this ultimate challenge. And I was like, it's not an ultimate challenge. I'm in heaven. This is great. I know exactly what to do with this.
Yeah.
So, and it speaks to the projects that I like. If it's different, if it's weird, if it's a geodome, if it's, if it's got shingles on the inside or burnt orange or whatever, but you know, you like it and you can't put a word. Those are the projects that I absolutely love. How do we make something out of this?
Yes. I love on your website, and for those of you listening, you can go to framestud.io.
Which reads Frame Studio.
Yes, it does, but I like what you did there. So you can go and check out his work. And there's, I know you do most of your work on the East Bay, San Francisco. You've done work on the peninsula, though. And there's one feature there. You did a phenomenal pool house right here in Los Altos on the peninsula here that I'm obsessed with. Can you share with us about that design?
Yeah.
It's so, so cool and
Thank
simple.
You.
And I love those battens.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. That, well, I mean, it's a good example to kind of circle back to your earlier question about Europe. Mm-hmm. A lot of my inspiration comes from Europe. And when I say I'm inspired by European architecture, what people think is kind of they put on their tourist hats and they think, okay, well, he's inspired by castles. And I will say, through an odd way, my husband's obsessed with castles. I've seen far more of them I share. But what I like about the castles is typically the modernist, guest services, you know, information center. And what I like about it, and this does have to do with this particular house, what I like about it is its architecture of its time. It's not being a fake castle, right?
Right.
It's being something that's completely different, but it's reacting to the environment and to this old castle. So with that in my mind, I actually got a really difficult commission. The house was a very nice Los Altos ranch, and it had been recently remodeled. And many of the changes I would not necessarily have made, but it was fine. I should be nice. It was a nice remodel. But what they did was they said, we would like a retreat. We would like an in-ground pool, a swim spa. We'd like it to be inspired by many of the hotel spas. We travel internationally. And I was excited, went and saw the house, and panicked the whole way back, going, okay, I'm just going to be doing a fake ranch. There's something really not right about this. And as I'm mulling through the ideas in my head, that castle information center came back. And I said, now, wait a minute. If we don't touch the house in the same way that you're not allowed to touch the castle, and you make a hard right turn at 21st century architecture, and you're responding to the area through the materials, you know, the Douglas fir, the cedar, the plywood, sort of the space industry, the tech industry, all of those things to me kind of all go into what, you know, this part of the bay.
Yeah.
And we were able to incorporate all of that and make something that is just so completely different, but yet works because it references in really subtle ways.
Absolutely. It really is spot on.
Thank you. It's one of my favorite. It's absolutely one of my favorite projects. And I feel like that was, I used to joke that was the first time that I kind of had free creative reign. Whilst it wasn't four new walls, because it was an addition, it was three new walls.
Yes.
So, and then later, since then, we've done four new walls and things like that. But you're able to see kind of, hopefully, some continuity with the mid-century architects and how they were incorporating technology and their surroundings and responding to a really neat place that is the Bay Area.
I love it. Well, it shows your range. To me, it shows your range. And that
Thanks.
Was really impressive. My last question, I could talk with you forever, but my last question is related to your auction alerts. Now, everyone listening, I don't know anyone that follows that follows auctions more than Chad. You have about 100 alerts per day on auctions. And I wanted your take on California post-war designs and also your take on 1960s Italian design. You have all these alerts that you're very resourceful, actually, for remodels and for this work through this.
So growing up in Fresno, I think one of those moments that I look back and I say to myself, I'm just so grateful that this happened, was I got to work in an antique store. And there were this very eccentric two guys owned the place, and they had been set decorators and florists. And this would have been back in 93, 94. So Hollywood Regency hadn't hit yet, but that's what they were doing. And what I learned from them was the value of secondhand, the value of going to a garage sale, going to an auction, and seeing something with a lot of potential and bringing it home, fixing it up, and doing your house with that. Back in those days, we didn't really associate it with all of the ecological positives of reuse, less waste, and, you know, IKEA hadn't hit my vocabulary yet. So I just knew that they were of quality. And so I think I've always been a bit of a collector, but more importantly, I've always liked things that I can't afford.
Right.
And it has not stopped. And so in later times, in later, you know, as time went on, I set up the alerts, and many of these alerts would be for eBay, but many of them are for brick and mortar auctions. I certainly have the Craigslist, you know, all of the things that I am looking for.
Right.
But what was really neat is as I kind of went down the rabbit hole of really studying furniture design mid-century, whether it be French, Italian, California, which is especially strong, I could start to get inspiration for cabinetry, for built-ins, for, you know, kitchens and things that felt the period, but weren't necessarily like a boring 60s kitchen if that's what we had. We oftentimes find ourselves working on projects that we need to sort of make a bit in the same era, make it a little less on a budget, a little less, because you can tell.
Yes.
You can tell. So a lot of the inspiration comes from the furniture, but Northern California, I love, there's a couple, there's one lighting designer that kind of still is a little bit off the radar, but you know, up at Gate 5 where Heath's original factory, there was this whole cluster of artisans that were working up there in Sausalito. And one of them is Robert Long Lighting. And Robert Long Lighting, it was brass lighting. His heyday was the late 60s, early 70s through the 80s. You know, he was one of the ones that was doing that globe sphere on kind of like a stylized cylindrical stem.
Right.
Except his are just the most finely crafted, most beautifully done. So I'm really interested, and I have, unfortunately or fortunately, a little bit of a collection of those.
I might have to buy one of those.
Yeah,
from
right,
you.
Right.
I love those.
I love the stuff from the 60s. I love the optimism from Italy in the 60s. And when you travel over there, you realize that not everyone's living. These designers weren't living in a Richard Neutra California style home. They're designing these things for 200-year-old spaces.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just fascinating.
Oh,
absolutely fascinating. So there is a bit of, I am a bit of a collector, and I like upgrading. So I have started officially reselling some of my pieces as we kind of either get bored or keep moving on, or find new spaces, new places for things, so on and so forth. And that is DeWitt 20th Century on Instagram. And so you'll put 20 with a 20, and it's underscores between the words. And you can see some of kind of the things that I'm interested in.
I love it. Well, I'm obsessed with those wood pieces. Our house here is entirely wood. Every piece of furniture, every chair, the wood mirror that you have on there.
Oh, and the Victor Genovi. And the
I'm already looking on there and I saw this wooden light also. That's amazing. That's mine for everyone listening. Anything else is up for I'm really excited about that. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
This is just so fun. And for all of you listening, please check out Chad's framestud.io and look at his work that he's done in Sea Ranch. Thank you so much, Chad, again.
Thank you, Anaid.
We'll see y'all on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.